just another solid day in California. It's just the way that I was raised in California.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living grid locked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies.
Welcome to this half-rusty edition of the Fansmanship.com podcast. Along with Kenny Stevenson, I am Owen Main, and it is another week in college football, and we're ready for it. We're here for it no matter what, as evidenced. And Kenny, did you have a splendid week this week?
Yeah, I did. I got to go back to the 9-9. I shot on Brooklyn 9-9 this week. Again, so nice. There'll be two episodes coming up this season. And, you know, obviously yesterday was Halloween as we're recording this on a Friday night, because we were both very busy this week.
How was Halloween for you?
Halloween was great. I made it back from set, like, just as they were like starting to go trick or treating. So like, I just got there just in time. She got a bowl full of candy. It was great.
Beautiful.
How was yours?
It was good. We have new neighbors across the street from us, and they own a barbecue joint in San Luis. They were barbecuing out front, and we took advantage. They're lovely people, and they have little kids, and so we went and hung out for a little bit, and we did the kind of the ideal trick or treating. We did one block, a circle around kind of one block, and hit the couple of cul-de-sacs that have friends on it, and got just enough candy for a 6 and a 3-year-old to go through probably in a year. And and off we went. We were in bed by like, kids were in bed like by 8-ish, 8, 8:30.
Killing it.
It's great.
We weren't in bed till 9. I was up late because I'm a nutbag, but my kid was asleep by like 9. But that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah. And then I drove to Monterey and back today. So my voice may be a little bit more gravelly than usual.
Nice. Killing it.
So here we are with another week of college football, and I'm gonna get our agenda up here so that I can, you know, take Let's a look at it. You know, these are things that I could have done beforehand, but why do things beforehand when you can do them during the podcast as you're talking?
That's what people want. People want to hear clicks on your computer. That's what people come to podcasts for.
That's what they come to this podcast for.
Yeah.
Might be the best part. Yeah, there it is. Okay.
Intense prep. Yeah, I did. I put some stuff up there.
I see it. So we're going to kick this podcast off with a quick review of last week's Cal Poly football game. It's going to be as quick as possible because Sacramento State laid it on the Mustangs. And what was really impressive about Sac State was honestly their defense. It seemed like they just had an extra person at the line of scrimmage the whole game. And when Cal Poly tried to do different things, it was just really hard for them to do that. Whatever that thing was, Jalen Hamler, didn't play late. And Jake Jeffrey, I mean, I guess the silver lining is that Jake Jeffrey threw a couple nice passes playing against his old high school coach, who's now the head coach at Sac State. So there you go. Yeah. That's what somebody told me.
That's a very quick trajectory to go from Folsom High School to the University of Utah as the offensive coordinator.
I know.
I don't buy that statistic.
You don't buy that? Well, let's...
That doesn't sound right.
I'll look it up while you're describing something to us, because there was a really good...
I'll describe something.
Yeah, so this is going to be the... We'll just kind of get through that game. Cal Poly lost to Sac State. They've now lost to Davis and Sac State. Yeah. They're not the worst team in California at the FCS level, because they did beat USD. But definitely not a great look for the Mustangs right this second. They have a chance to get a good road win this week against Idaho, the Vandals, who just came down. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But for this edition of Kenny's, Kenny tried to explain something about football that he maybe doesn't know anything about. There was a rich text that he has to go from this week.
Yeah, so the Mustang News, the wonderful people, the wonderful students in the journalism department who, you know, create the what used to be called the Mustang Daily. Is that still what it's called at the actual campus, or is it still just called? Is it just Mustang News now?
It's Mustang News because it doesn't come out every day anymore.
Well, that obviously that makes perfect sense. So anyway,
and they're also trying to shift the focus away from, they combined like the video part of it with the writing part of it. So there you go.
That's how people want their content now. So there was a video put up this week where Jalen Hamler, am I saying that right? Can never get his name right. He was basically breaking down various plays, and I was like, oh, this is rich, because you know the whole reason behind this whole part of the show is when you hear people talk about football and you're like a casual fan, it's like, what the hell is that guy talking about? And that's pretty much what the whole video is. So at one point he's talking about how the defense is playing cover zero, and I was like, I need to figure out what this is, because I hear people talking about it like they're in zone, they're in man, cover two. Like, what the hell is, what are these things? Because, like, ultimately, if I could just do a quick sidebar, ultimately, I'm never going to be in a position where I'm going to, like, really need to know this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'm going to be, like, a football coach at some point. I'm going to have to be like, oh, they're in cover zero. You know what I mean? I'm not really going to ever have to know this. But, like, let me try to explain what I think cover zero is. My understanding.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
So cover zero is when the defense is fully like matched up, like on a man. The safety is not basically covering an area. The safety is all the way forward.
Like there's no such thing as a safety anymore. There is no safety.
Yes. Yes. So it's just basically it's cover zero because everyone is covered. That's my basic understanding. If I'm totally off, please, like, at Kenny G Stevenson at Twitter, just get at me. It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So cover two, for example, which is like what the Tampa Bay Bucks ran when I was in college, would be like two safeties and like two levels, basically, that you're thinking about. Cover zero is that there's no safeties, there's no safety valve. It's just everybody's stacking the line of scrimmage, and beyond that, you better cover your guy. It's like playing two-hand touch football in the side, you know, in the backyard or on the street.
I got this guy, and what that informs our quarterback and with the triple option is that there's, you know, the way he reads the defense is going to put in his mind as to what he should do. Should he hold it? Should he keep it? Should he pitch it? Should he, you know, it helps them adjust what we're going to run, because the triple option is predicated so much on what the defense is doing.
So I looked it up, Kenny. Troy Taylor, who's the Sac State head coach, was at Folsom High School. He was the co-head coach from 2012 to 15.
Wow.
So he did coach.
Very possible.
If you do the math, he would have coached Jake Jeffrey at least some. And maybe Dano as well in his senior year, question mark. Depending on how you, I need to do the math on that, I guess, but I would guess that's probably the case. Taylor then went to Eastern Washington, where he coached Gabe Gabrud, who was a really good quarterback there.
Good old Gabe.
And then he went to Utah after that. So there you go.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Phenomenal. So there you go. As we move, you know, move along in the pod, thank you for the detailed breakdown of the cover zero. I would recommend that was a really good segment that the Mustang News put together. So
it was very good.
Yeah. So check it out on their Facebook page. And that would be a cool thing to take a look at. Moving, I guess, a little bit away from football. And
we don't want to talk about the Idaho Vandals at all, or?
Well, we will. We'll come back to them, I think.
All right, come back.
Yeah, we'll come back to some football for some non-football stuff. Actually, a quick plug. I'm going to give the non-football story of the week at Cal Poly, and it's the other football. Oh, yeah. It's that tomorrow night,
Saturday night,
is the big game. The hashtag big game between big game, UCSB and Cal Poly here at Cal Poly. There's only one of these games every year that actually counts for Big West standings. Last year it was the one at Santa Barbara that counted. This year it's the one at Cal Poly that counts. And the game's at 5 p.m., so the lighting's going to be nice for photos. I'm actually kind of excited because it's the last day. I think daylight saving is coming up too, right? So
it's the next day.
Yeah. So we'll get the most out of the light that we get when it comes to Cal Poly Soccer, Spanos will be full, which is always really fun to see. It's the one kind of guaranteed Spanos sellout every year. And furthermore, right now we're 1 week away from the men's basketball season starting. So there's a lot, there's a lot of fun stuff going on. If you want to see a men's basketball preview, I did one of those with Chris Sylvester and my friend Nick Wynn on the podcast last week. So you can check that out. Probably too much detail in that podcast, but you know. Take a look, well, take a listen if you want to.
You have to counterbalance the extreme lack of detail in this podcast.
Totally.
With another one.
Totally. So for this one, we're going to talk about, let's move on to the unofficial Boo Boo Records record of the week. Kenny, you got a good one for us, it looks like?
I do. Guys. Obviously, we know Boo Boo Records, big. They're not our sponsor, but you know, I was a DJ at KCPR, and I've been watching this show on Netflix. I don't know if you watch this show, Owen.
You know, you just saying that, Kenny, made me think of the John Rocker. I'm a bow hunter from Saturday Night Live. I hunt with a bow. Yeah. I was a DJ at KCPR. I'm a DJ.
I'm a DJ.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yes. Continue. No problem. There's this wonderful show that I've been watching with my wife called Rhythm and Flow, and it's basically like a rap competition, and it's the three main judges are Cardi B, Chance the Rapper, and T.I. And so they go each city. So they started in L.A., and each city they have like a local judge that come and joins them. So they were all there in L.A., and they had Snoop Dogg join them. Then they went to New York, where Cardi B is from, and she brought like two New York rappers, Fat Joe and guy from Jadakiss from, you got it. Yeah. And then they went down to Atlanta, where T.I. is from, and it was him and one of the Migos, and then Big Boy. And then Chance went to Chicago, and we're getting somewhere, guys. So then Chance went to Chicago, and in Chicago it was him and Twista. Remember Twista, the guy who raps so fast? And then this guy Royce da 5'9". So now we're getting to my pick of the week. So watching this show, they're my two biggest takeaways are it's great. It's like a real, like legit, like rap competition. And it's great that it's on Netflix because everybody can be like uncensored and say whatever they want. And a lot of the judges on the show that aren't like Chance and Cardi B, their feedback, especially in like the Atlanta episode and the New York episode, their feedback is just terrible. It's just like, yeah, I think you're pretty good. What do you got to say? Like they had nothing really to add. But last night, I'm getting there, guys. Strap in. Last night we watched the Chicago episode, and it was like in that one, they were all great. They had the feedback they had to give all the artists was really, really strong. And this guy, Royce da 5'9", who I have used to love and I've not listened to in a while. And I was like, oh man, like listening to him talk on this show reminded me of how great of an artist he is, how great of a lyricist he is. And I wanted to recommend his album. I believe it's from like, oh, maybe 10 years ago. It's called Street Hop. The first track is a track called Dinner Time with Busta Rhymes. It's phenomenal, but the whole thing is really good. He's a really, like, Chicago is known in hip hop for having for lyricism, and it really comes through in his work. I believe he's actually from Detroit, but came through with like Kanye and stuff in Chicago. But he's actually from Detroit. But also to plug this show, Rhythm and Flow. And Royce da 5'9 is just an unbelievable name for an artist. I mean, we're talking, when I say 5'9, I mean like 5'9. That has the full like inch and feet and inch markers in his name. And the big thing that I think gets lost in hip hop right now, I'm going on a big diatribe right
this
now, guys.
Is good. This is good. Let's go.
We're so far from football, but the thing about hip hop is like the names I feel like lately have been kind of like lacking, but there are some names on this show of some of these artists, upcoming artists that are phenomenal. Some of them, and they're all great. They're all like really good, like artists who are coming up, but like names like Caleb Colossus, Sam Be Yourself, Big Mouth Bo, and Sasha Go Hard. She killed it in Chicago. Guys, check it out. So anyway, that's my Boo Boo record. 45 minutes later, that's my Boo Boo record of the week.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, that's Kenny's Boo Boo record of the week. It has a single apostrophe and an end quotations in it, aka feet and inches.
Yeah, because he's Royce to 5'9". He's 5'9".
Royce to 5'9". I'm good. Owen to 6'2", I guess.
Yeah, Kenny to 6'4", for sure.
Awesome. That's fun.
We got there, guys.
Good times. We got there. Royce to 5'9". I'm gonna have to check that out. I was on a long trip today. You should have given me the sneak preview.
Street Hop is the name of the album.
I ended up listening to like an entire Wallflowers album. I don't know.
Good for you.
That's what I was doing today. I watched a good documentary last night on that was by Jacob Dylan. So there you go.
The Echo in the Canyon, right?
Echo in the Canyon. It's pretty interesting, and visually it's just nice. It's colorful and it's kind of nicely woven together, and it's a lot of the music that my dad honestly really likes. And
guys, we've segued really nicely into the unofficial Palm Theater movie pick of the week,
which is Echo in the Canyon. Yeah, there you go. It's the unofficial Palm Theater movie.
I haven't seen it, but I'm very that's talking about the late 60s of all the artists that were living and working up in Laurel Canyon, correct?
Yeah, starts with the Byrds. And
Dave, it's mentioned very briefly. There's also a documentary that came out this year called David Crosby, Remember My Name. And in that doc, they talk a bit about that, because obviously David Crosby was in the Byrds.
Crosby and Tom Petty's heavily featured. Jacob Dylan's basically interviewing everybody. Eric Clapton, a number of people. The woman from Mamas and the Papas.
Mm-hmm. Mama Cass.
No, not Mama Cass. the one who's alive, I think.
Yes. Yeah, because you couldn't really interview Mama Cass.
I mean, it would be post, posthumous interviews, I guess. But it was really interesting. And I have to say, one of the most interesting things, the mom, they were talking about how the Mamas and the Papas operated, and that singer was just so interesting. And Laurel Canyon itself seemed like just a super cool place. Maybe it still is. What do you think? Is Laurel Canyon still pretty hip?
Not really. It's basically like a place that it's a way to get over the hill to avoid the 101 at this point. That's all it is.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. So maybe I need to drive through there. There were some really cool aerial shots of Laurel Canyon, just from like a visual perspective. A lot of the stuff that they did. I really like Beck too. And Beck was in it, and Regina Spektor.
I love Beck.
And some others that sang. I think Fiona Apple was in it. I don't know.
Is this on Netflix? Have you watched it?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Guys, go to Net. We've had two plugs for two separate things on Netflix.
So I mean, Netflix.
Literally, like,
buy our podcast. Pay us.
Yeah, Netflix, Bon and Viv, Boo Boo Records, Palm Theater. Like,
man,
get at us. We will literally barely talk about football on this show, and plug all of your things.
Amazing. Let's actually, speaking of football, let's kind of get back to football.
Let's get back to the dome.
The dome.
Holly's going to the dome tomorrow.
And Idaho State has a dome too, that's a little bit crazier and weirder than the Idaho one. But Polly's going to play Idaho at the dome. What are your thoughts? Idaho coming off a bye week.
So they're coming off a bye week. And I have to say, I was trying to kind of figure out what their starting quarterback, Colin Richardson, is out. And so most likely that means they're going back to the coach's son this week. Like, he's listed as first in the depth chart. They have a couple of redshirt freshmen or I think an actual freshman they could actually burn a couple games on, and they could still redshirt him at this point because there's only four games left. So there's talk of that coming out of Idaho. I listened to an Idaho Vandals podcast to get ready.
That away.
So I think the biggest thing going into this game is that these are two teams that, there isn't a lot of, to me, on paper, this matchup is not going to be exciting at all. If you look at, they're both ranked low in terms of the Big Sky, in terms of total offense. So you're looking at Idaho is ranked 10th and Cal Poly is ranked 11th. They're playing their backup quarterback, Idaho is, which is the coach's son. And the talk from most Idaho fans is they're kind of just like, eh, well, we, you know, he's fine, but he's not going to light the game on fire. So
right,
it's I don't know, going into it, like, I feel like it, I don't have a lot of optimism, but I'm not really like negative. It just seems like a very kind of like game, because Cal Poly's 2-6, Idaho's 3-5. They have some bad losses. We have some bad losses. We have some good losses, I guess. We have some bad losses. They have got a couple good wins. We have a couple nice wins. It's like, it should be like a pretty evenly matched. I think it's just going to come down to, at this point, like, how we, they have their defense is a little bit better than ours on paper. So it's just how it goes. The same thing that we say with this team every week is that, you know, it's all comes down to how the triple option is going.
Yeah. Can they be balanced? I'm going to be really looking for some balance this week in that triple option, not just between running and passing, but getting guys touches. Last week, Drew Hernandez, who, you know, has all the talent in the world, got zero touches. And, you know, in that game. And I'd like to see him get a little bit more involved, along with maybe a couple other guys, Lepi Latemua and some other guys are.
Just to mix it up. Like, I think, yeah, that was coming through in the broadcast last week at versus Sac State. They've just sort of we've kind of hit this level of like predictability. You know, it's like first down, run up the middle.
And I'm fine with some predictability, but like running up the middle, not every run up the middle is created the same. And if you can get some off tackle, you know, from the wing backs, if you can get some kind of inside runs from some of those guys, if you can kind of mix up the types of runs that you're getting, you know, I definitely say that you're going to have a better chance. Cal Poly is a 9-point underdog in this game. I think that's probably what would be about right. Yeah. I mean, it's in Idaho.
That's true.
One of the things, which is probably worth, you know, 3 to 5 points in this case, cause it's in a dome. One thing that I think is interesting about both of the Idaho teams is they play in kind of really interesting, I guess, kind of older domed stadiums, right? In terms of Idaho itself, the Vandals play in the Kibbe Dome. The Kibbe Dome opened 48 years ago as an outdoor concrete football stadium in October 1971. It was built on the same site as a demolished wooden stadium. And the Kibbe Dome has 16,000 permanent seats and was put a roof over it after 74. So the stadium was already there, and then they added the roof later, which is kind of an interesting concept, right?
And then it's just been 35 years of just raw football off the dome. I'm trying to find fun ways to say dome.
Dome. And then, you know, they play basketball in there as well,
yeah,
which is kind of an interesting thing. The Kibbe Dome, and then Holt Arena is Idaho State. And Holt Arena, I don't know what the Kibbe Dome looks like inside, but everything I've heard about Holt Arena is that the grass itself, the artificial turf, is very hard. It's basically just like peeling off a carpet on concrete. And so a couple of years ago, Chris Brown got pretty dinged up there as the quarterback. And you saw Jalen Hamler not play late in the game last week. It'll be interesting to see what the decision is in terms of his availability up at Idaho this week, or whether Jake Jeffrey is going to be the guy. And if Jeffrey is the guy, maybe look for a little bit less in terms of the quarterback rushing it. And again, maybe some more variance in terms of which running backs are running it. I don't know. And you never know about, you know, additional passing. J.J. Koski and Quentin Harrison are top-level wide receivers who can run good routes. So we'll kind of see what happens up at the Kibbe Dome this week. It's kind of a cool name. There's actually some really cool names of stadiums that are domes in the Big Sky. There's the, I think it's called the Walk-Up Sky Dome in Northern Arizona.
Sky Dome?
In Northern Arizona, that's what it's called. It's called the Walk-Up Sky Dome. I think somebody's last name was Walk-Up, and I always think that it's funny because it's called the Walk-Up Sky Dome, but let me look that up.
I'm already in the process of doing it.
Yeah, it's the Walk-Up Sky Dome.
I was checking out the...
Lawrence J. Walk-Up in Northern Arizona, and so not only is his name Walk-Up, but that's actually how you get there as well, is the, you know...
Hey-o.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was like a true stipulation, like... You can have, I will give you the money for the naming rights, but God damn it, everyone better walk up to my goddamn stadium. apologize for
the handicapped be damned.
Yeah, you guys find a way. We're lumberjacks. Gosh darn it. It is the J. Lawrence Walk Up Sky Dome. Oh, I love it. Called a Sky Dome.
So you got Holt Arena, which is like not really an arena. It's more of a football stadium. You have the Kibbe Dome, which is a sweet name, and the Walk Up Sky Dome. Those are all places I'd love to go shoot a game sometime. And
let's do it. Guys, NAU, if you are Idaho Vandals, if you need us to fly up tomorrow just to be there.
If anybody ever wants to sponsor me going to a game, like I will go to a game.
Let's
you know.
Do it.
Yeah, we'll make it. Me and Kenny will both go to a game. We'll get on the private jet that you pay for us. I'll drive to LA even to catch it with Kenny, and we'll go to the game. We'll go.
Sure. But it's got a private jet, like only.
Or first class, we'll consider.
Yeah, first class. Don't fly me coach.
But one of those, like, you know, on the small planes where there's like three first class seats, but they're not really first class seats, but they call them that. I'm not going to deal with that crap. That's not okay at all. I'm not with that.
That's like business class.
Amazing.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking at the University of Idaho Kibbe-ASUI Activity Center website, and that field doesn't look that bad.
No, it looks nice.
It looks nice. So I don't know. My roommate in my sophomore year who walked onto the Cal Poly football team, he played up there at the Kibbe Dome. And back when Idaho was division, when they were FBS, as you were.
I don't know that he played at the Kibbe Dome, Kenny.
I think he did.
This might be the first game ever for Cal Poly.
Really?
At the Kibbe Dome.
Then maybe it was Idaho State.
Yeah, it was probably the Holt Arena situation.
Well, I had written down that it was that the two coaches have never played each other, and this is only like, but this you're saying that this is the first time Cal Poly's ever played Idaho.
Hang on, I'm gonna look it up again.
Guys, let's do this. This has been like half an hour of some of the most solid podcasting. Like, it's so great that we ask for all these people to be like unofficial sponsors, and then what we do in return is give them some of the best content.
Okay, I can't find it. I thought I read that somewhere, but I could be wrong. So
let's just say that I'm right.
Yeah, let's say that you're right. That's cool.
And we'll just go from there.
Yeah, great.
To wrap it up, this.
Hey, there. Yes, Kenny. Here we go. Cal Poly and Idaho are meeting for the first time since 27 and the third time overall. They played in 96 and 2007, which would check out.
I told you, 96. I was a sophomore.
Boom shakalaka.
That's how old we are, or I am. But yes, and I remember him saying that how much he enjoyed it. He said playing in the Kibbe Dome was, he said it was like the most, like one of the most fun experiences he's ever had.
Nice.
You just don't, like in the NFL, they have domes. There's just college football, they just don't have domes.
Yeah, the Mustangs played at, what's it called, in the Fargo Dome last year when they played North Dakota State. And there's the three dome teams in the Big Sky, which is, you know, it's fun. And we might hear more about domes when we get to our picks of the week, which we have a sneak preview. A certain gentleman who we've had make picks before is back. And he seems a little more confident with his picks this time too, which is interesting.
Before we go to him, though.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
Can we go do ahead. The official, unofficial Bon and Viv?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we're going to take a break from Bon and Viv.
What? Kenny, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Because again, to preface, I have a recently discovered sulfite allergy.
I love how you reset that every single time.
I have because I'm assuming that we have so many.
I have a sulfite allergy.
I'm gluten-free now because of a non-celiac.
Have you like lost weight because of both of those things?
Of 15 pounds.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So I can only drink certain types of alcohol. It can have sulfites. So that was what led me to Bon and Viv. But I found this other thing, this brand new type of alcohol when I was at the market the other day. It's called, this is the unofficial Bon and Viv drink of the week is by a different company. It's called,
dude, I don't think this is the way to get Bon and Viv to sponsor you, Kenny.
We'll get there. It's called Crook and Marker. And the reason why this, I'm kind of blown away by this alcohol, is because all of the hard seltzers are, it's a sugar-based alcohol. This is it's like ancient grains. It's an organic alcohol made with.
Is it made with quinoa?
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
It is made with organic cassava root extract, organic amaranth, organic millet, and organic quinoa, motherfuckers. It's crazy. I saw this and I was like, I gotta get this. It's vegan, it's non-GMO, it's gluten-free. It's about like, this would like make every person wearing a MAGA hat, like they make their like head explode. And it's only 80 calories, and I'm telling you, I have the coconut pineapple. It's delicious. It's like it is literally like tasting. It is like tasting the Big Island of Hawaii in a very zero, like low calorie, unbelievable taste.
If you took the road to Hana, and you. Or that's not on the Big Island, that's in Maui. But if you went to Kailua Kona and you kicked a palm tree and a fermented coconut fell on your head.
It would taste just like this.
It would taste just like this.
Oh, if that coconut then cracked open, rolled and landed in a pineapple. It's coconut pineapple.
Oh, sorry.
But it's okay. But I'm telling you guys, if you know when you roll up at 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah.
Watch, you know, on Pluto TV, another shout out to another company that is not sponsoring us. If you watch that, crack open a Crook and Marker and just remember, or a Bon and Viv, either one.
Yeah.
You're gonna be magically whisked away. It's gonna be summertime again. You're gonna forget about the fact that it's November 1st, that you gotta set your clock back, that people are already like, I was watching the news last night, not watching, it was like, if you have Spectrum cable, which I hate, but it's, I have.
Yes. Yes. We have that here.
I have to have it through my HOA, and the default, when you turn it on, it just turns on like Spectrum news. And so we just put our daughter to bed and my wife and I were getting her to watch TV, turn the TV on. And it was like, do you need some good holiday gift ideas? And I was like, it is still the 31st. Like, can we just chill out on the Christmas for like a day? But you drink a Crook and Marker or a Bon and Viv, guess what, guys? It's summertime all over again. That's all I'm saying.
Let's go with some Bon and some Viv. Oh, and what's it called again? Say it again.
Crook and Marker.
Crook and Marker or Crooked and, Marker?
It's Crook and Marker. Uh-huh. And you drink this down. And this is going to remind you that California is going to Idaho. And you'll bring a little bit of California with you on the way.
The state may be burning down. But you can still get some refreshing refreshment.
Your child for what is wrong with our approach to global warming. But hey, you might as well drink something while it's happening.
it's all going down and it's going down tomorrow. The games, I think, are at similar times. If you're trying to watch both Cal Poly football, I'm going to make sure about that.
Football's at 2:05.
Football's at 2:05, so sit on down, watch some football, then head over if you have a ticket to the soccer game, or you can, you know, follow me on Instagram or Facebook, or not Facebook, Instagram or Twitter probably, and you'll be able to find some good photos and some updates. Hopefully I don't get hit with any tortillas. The last couple of games, seen a UCSB kid get hit with like a water bottle. Don't do that if you're out there and you're listening to this, but if you're listening to me, you're probably not going to be somebody who's throwing a water bottle, I would hope. Don't do that. Don't even throw tortillas. Don't throw anything on the field. How about? That's a good plan.
Enjoy yourself. Have a good time. Yeah. Drink a Bon and Viv and just have a good time. And then, but I actually don't drink a Bon and Viv at the game because it's a dry campus.
Yeah. It's not a dry campus. There's alcohol at the games for people who are of age.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I did not know that. Guys, I need to get up there.
This is a game changer, Kenny.
I need to get up there.
Homecoming is in a couple weeks.
I know, Cal Poly Alumni Weekend, November 14th.
You do know already.
I'm thinking about coming. I don't think it's going to happen. But well, you never.
Yeah, you know, the invite's open. I have many couches. There.
Oh, That's what my exactly what my almost 43-year-old ass needs is a couch,
like injured back, hey, right? Yeah.
Yeah, all the things, guys. I'm a total mess. But hey, and thanks for listening.
Amazing. All right. So we're going to get our Big Sky Picks of the Week from Mr. Nick Cage. And we'll catch you next week. Go Mustangs.
Hey, Nicholas Cage. I'm back here. I'm back ready to do some picks, ready to do it up. Let's do this really quick. I got to go because I'm currently shooting a movie. This is all being recorded for a movie right now. Let's go. Montana versus Portland State. Holy shit. Yeah, Grizzlies versus Vikings. Well, you know for one fact and one fact only that Nicolas Cage has, of course, fought both a Grizzly and a Viking. So you know who wins in this match? No one. But I guess for the sake of argument, we'll just say that the Vikings, I'm sorry, the Grizzlies will pull this out. Montana, yeah, book it, Cage. Look, let's see, Southern Utah versus Montana State. Holy shit. This is just going to be a big-time win for the Bobcats, because what the fuck is a Bobcat anyway? It's a cat named Bob. Get at me, Bobcat. I will fucking wrestle you. Now, look, next, the big game of the weekend, Weber State versus Sacramento State. Nicolas Cage loves the capital of California. I no longer live in California. I live in Vegas. So you know what? On second thought, fuck California, Weber State. Yeah, now NAU versus Eastern Washington. And what is NAU? Northern Washington, Northern Arizona versus Eastern Washington. What fucking direction am I going? Ah, look, Nicolas Cage is going one way and one way only, and that's straight to hell. And so are the Northern Arizona Lumberjacks. Fucking A, wow. Now, Northern Colorado versus Idaho State. Wow. Shit, I don't know. Let's just say Idaho State's going to pull that off because they're Bengals. And if you put Nicolas Cage in a cage, whoa, Cage in a cage, my mind is blown. If you put Nicolas Cage in a cage like a Bengal tiger, guess what? He's going to explode. Does that make sense? I don't think so. Finally this week, the pick of the week, California Polytechnic State University, San Luis Obispo versus Idaho, and that's in a dome. Idaho plays in a dome, and Nicolas Cage has the biggest dome you've ever seen because of my massively receding hairline. So let's say the Vandals pick this game for the week. Yeah, Cage out. Go Golden Knights hockey. Fuck yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue.